But I just want to read the whole chapter. How about that? We'll focus on verses 3 and 4, but I want to just read this whole chapter. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate both day and night. He shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Drop back again to verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly, though, these as a contrast, you see verse 3 tells you about the righteous, verse 4 about the ungodly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. Verses 3 and 4 of this chapter give us a distinct difference made, a great distinction made between this righteous and that one that's planted by the rivers of water, and then the unrighteous, which are like the chaff, or the dry, if you will, the dry wood, or the dry, particularly those dry plants, the waste of the wheat after it had been cut down that the wind driveth away. In other words, it's empty, it has no life in it, and it has no weight to it because it has no life in it, and it's blown away of the wind. It's as a dry stick or a dry piece of straw that's blown away and it does not have any life to it. But this righteous man that's meditating on the law of the Lord is like a man planted by the river of water. I don't know how many of you have paid attention, and I'm kind of deviating some, but that's okay. I don't have an awful lot to get to tonight. I won't preach long. And that scares some of you to death, doesn't it? I don't know how many of you have noticed, but many times I watch the trees on the sides of the river. And those of you who've listened to me preach for a long time know that I'm interested, and those who've been around me for a long time know that I'm interested in trees. I've always been and have noticed and paid close attention to them and am captivated, interested by the different ways that each of them grow and the different ways that they prosper. And the different benefits that each of them have. But on those trees that are planted by the sides of the rivers, many times you'll find them growing into a rock. And it seems like it would be impenetrable, but sometimes the root will go right through. It'll find its tiniest little crack in the rock, and it'll go through it, and the tree will sprout forth from it. And my friend, that root then, when it goes below the ground, the surface, it finds other rocks, and maybe even that rock that is growing in the middle of, the roots will grow out and wrap themselves around the rocks themselves inside the banks. And many times then as time passes by and the raging river comes down during the high waters, it'll hit the sides of that bank and begin as time goes by in that curve of the river, and it will erode away at the bank. It'll wash away, and the riverbank begins to edge over a little further and a little further and a little further and a little deeper on that side. It doesn't cut the corner. It pushes the end because of the force of the water. And the tree that once had plenty of good soft dirt had to grow in, sometimes all the dirt around its root system will be completely washed away, and you'll see them sitting out, my friend, 3 or 4 feet sometimes out in the middle of the river, and nothing but roots running back in to the river's banks. You know what keeps it strong though? Those roots that are in the river bank are constantly fed by the river. Amen. And the same river that seems like it's washing it away has the same river that's feeding its roots. Amen. Many times in my life and in yours, we think that God's doing things to us, and meanwhile He's trying to do things for us. And we think that the hard times is a beating against us, and that the trials are more than what we can bear, and it's washing our foundation away. And all the while, God's just making sure He sends enough water to us to keep us strong on the river bank. Amen. And that's the way this tree by the rivers of water is. It's got plenty to keep us
its leaves healthy and planted to keep it growing. And I planted, my friend, to feed it and to give it the nutrients that it needs. Amen, that's right. I think about, lots of time, every time I read this scripture, I think about who was flying out to California back several years ago, I guess it was back in 2002. Passing over top of the deserts out in the west, and we landed in Houston, and then after we landed and had a layover in Houston, we was headed on out towards California, and I don't know where we were. All of it just looked the same. Everything was red. Everything was barren. Everything was dry. Nothing was anywhere. I'm telling you, I've never seen such in my life. Miles upon miles upon miles of nothing. Nothing but sand. Nothing but dirt. And nothing, my friend, no house. No animals, no cars. It seemed like there was no sign of life anywhere. But I noticed, Brother John, down on the ground there were cracks all in the earth. And all along the line there'd be cracks. And I figured out, as high as what we were, those were not cracks. Those were little creeks and ditches and rivers that ran through that desert land. And I looked down and noticed, as was a flying over that vast desert, that all of those cracks seemed like they ran to the same place, to the same place in the desert, and all of them puddled up, and there's a little pond. May have been a pretty good sized lake, but it looked like a pond from the air, and there's a great big old tree down there beside that pond, and there's only one, and it looked like it was growing in the desert sand. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Son, when you feel like you're in a dry and a barren desert, I'll plant you by the rivers of water. And if need be, I'll drain 100 square miles dry just to feed one of my youngins in a desert, an ungodly land." He said, "The righteous, my friend, would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Hallelujah to His name. We may be living in desert times, and that these may be difficult days, and we may be living in dry days spiritually. But if you'll be right with God, friend, He'll plant you in an oasis. He'll drain the ground dry to feed your soul. Amen. And He'll take care of you. And you can flourish while others are drying up and blowing away. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. Thank God. And now this morning we talked about the trees and how that they could be used and such. And my friend, we talked about some of those hindrances to their use, whether it was knots or worms and black ants. We talked about new growth and old growth at the core of the tree. But tonight I want to talk to you, friend, about green wood and dry wood. Or if you will, wet wood and dry wood, or cured wood. And now I want to share a few things with you about that. He gives us that contrast here in Psalms 1 of the tree whose root system is fed by the rivers of water. That's a green, alive, living, a flourishing tree. As Psalms 92 and 12 said, that would be fed and flourishing in the house of our God. Now listen, but then he gave us a contrast in verse number 4 about the chaff that had been cut down and dried up and was blown away. And so we have this contrast of the green and the dry, or the wet and the cured. And now listen to me. I want to share a few observations, and then we'll close out this evening. But I want to say, first of all, dry wood. Dry wood does not split well. It just does not split well. If you want to take dry wood, my friend, the best thing you can do is split it while it's still green, and then let it dry out, my friend. But if you wait till it dries out, it gets hard and it gets coarse and it gets crusty, and it's not pliable for use. And my friend, it's not easy to split. It lies dry, church members. It's split, stiff. It's dead. It's reluctant to change. And if you put pressure on it, I like them naughty places, it'll just blow up on you and split wide open. That's right. I mean, instead of splitting clean, old dry wood after it sets up, you let it set on up in the barn for about five. We got some of it been set down in the chicken house, Brother John, now since 1989. It's been sitting down in the chicken house. We don't raise chickens in there no more. And it's been down there in the chicken house in the dry since 1989. Now, buddy, that stuff is cured out. I mean, all you got to do is walk by and look at it cross-eyed, it catches on fire. I mean, it is cured out. But brother, when it gets that dry, it does not want to split. Put some up on the wood splitter yesterday and raised that lever anymore and brought it back down again. And boy, and go through it. But son, it day, that old wet wood, it get to the top and the pressure get on it and juices start coming out. But on that dry stuff, pressure get on it, you just crack. But it wouldn't come apart. It'd just crack and get all stringy on you. And my friend, it'd start to split. And my friend, instead of splitting clean, it'd just kind of rip apart with rough edges and splinters. And my friend, I want to tell you, that's the way dry, cold people are. That don't worship, don't have no spirit about them, and don't know the witness of the Holy Ghost. When the pressure gets on, they don't ooze nothing sweet, nothing good. But instead, they'll just split up with those splinters and get all crusty and rough and hard to deal with. Amen. I tell you, my friend, folks that's filled with the Spirit of God, they're not always all coarse and hard to deal with. And upset and angry and frustrated and mad. Oh, yes, that's right. They've got some sweet that on the inside and makes them do differently. And that old dried up crowd dies.
Now there's a lot of folks, friend, I done shook my pulpit loose. There's a lot of folks out there comes to church on Sunday and they sit in the pew, but they're dead and they're dry and they're cold and they hadn't shouted in a coon's age. Amen. That's exactly right. You couldn't get a holy grind out of them with a shotgun at their head. And they don't worship and they don't get involved and they don't pray and they don't read their Bible and they don't sing when the congregation sings. Somebody said, I can't sing. I'm not interested in how good you sing. But friend, if you got the joy of God in your heart, you ought to stand up, pick up a songbook, and sit in there trying to sing. Amen. Oh, that's right. My daddy always says, if you can't sing good, just sing loud. At least then everybody know you're happy about it. Amen. That's right. Sometimes I'll get up and preach and look across the congregation, and some of you are crying and shouting and waving your hands, and others are sitting there picking your fingernails and looking in the book. Now it's the same preacher. It's the same sermon. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same church. That one of you is about to fly away and the other's about ready to commit suicide. What's the difference? It's because somebody's dry. Somebody's dead. And somebody's cold. And you need to get hooked up and come to this place to worship God. Amen, that's right. Amen. It splits. It don't split clean. I'll tell you, dead folks may try to live right, but they'll never get clean. Amen. There ain't no chance much of you getting really right with God. Somebody said, I'll tell you, so-and-so, they don't worship much, but they live clean. They may live clean in front of you, but buddy, if they ain't got no spirit of worship down in their hearts, they ain't got to be demonstrative all the time. But if they don't have some spirit of worship down in their heart, that makes them want to adore the Lord and every now and again get on their knees in the prayer closet. Amen. Read their Bible and tears come to their eyes. They're not going to live clean very long. Because they got too much flesh about them. You must decrease and he must increase. I tell you, it's a whole lot easier to live clean when your worship is right and you walk in hand in hand with Jesus. Otherwise, all you can do is try to regulate the flesh, and it's too much for you.
Amen. Well, it just doesn't click. Just doesn't split clean. It rips apart rough edges and splinters. Amen.
You'll say, I'll tell you, I know that preacher. He may be right and I'm going to do it, but I won't like it. I've seen people do that. Oh, they'll come to church and the preacher will preach hard. He'll keep her head preached down, like we talked about dealing with the flesh of the Wednesday night. He'll keep their head preached down. They'll go by the rules and the regulations and do what somebody else says. But they never will be happy doing it because they're dead, because they're dry, because they don't have no juice in them. Amen. They don't have any Holy Ghost. They don't have any anointing on their life. That's right. But there's one thing about dry wood. It does burn easy. Matter of fact, if you get it really dry, it'll really burn easy. Like I told you, that stuff down in the chicken house, all you got to do is cross your eyes at it. Walk past it. My granddaddy said you could walk past it and drop a match down on it without it even being lit, and it set the thing on fire. And it's just about that easy to set on fire. By the way, when folks get out of worship with the house of God and that they don't get in place where they get with God, and my friend, they're all crusted and dried over, ain't got no spirit about them. It don't take that much to make a man and set them on fire. Amen. I mean, they get blown up and everything. And old man just don't take nothing to light their fire. Amen. Oh, that's right. You just look at them cross-eyed. They'll catch on fire. They'll burn up and you won't never see them no more. Amen. They'll say, I'll go to the house. At church, they don't appreciate me and they don't love me. And that preacher don't like me no more. I like what TJ sings in that song. Something got a hold of me. Said that preacher looked down and preached right at me. He called and told everybody how evil I was and seemed not to think much of me. I'll tell you, that's what it is. That's the way it works. When the Holy Ghost works in the preaching, and it begins to dig around in your life and show you the knots in your life and the wormholes and the big old black hands. And my friend, if you're wicked and you're dry and you hadn't been fellowshipping with God, it'll set you on fire. That friction will be more than what you can take, and you'll turn on the preacher man, and all he's doing is delivering the mail. He didn't write the letter. He's just delivering the mail. Amen. That's right. Dry wood doesn't split well. I want to say wet wood, or green wood, if you will, like spirit-filled believers who worship the old-time Spirit of God, it's filled with sap. And it'll split clean and smooth. It splits without rough edges and splinters. Amen. Now, listen, hey, don't think I'm the first one to come up with this idea of the analogy of the wood being filled with sap, being the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in the book of Psalms that the trees of the Lord are full of sap. That's what the book of Psalms said. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Now, sap is what, it's the food. It's where the process of photosynthesis takes place. And the sunlight comes in through the leaves. It's transmitted down through the trunk. The water comes up through the roots. It's transmitted up through the trunk. And my friend, the tree is fed by that sap in the green wood. Amen. That sap is the blood of the tree. It's the life of the tree. I want to tell you, as a saint of God, the Holy Ghost is the life of the church. It's the life of the Christian. It's the life of the believer. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. And you're dead's what you are. A church without the Holy Ghost ain't dying. It's already dead. And it's in need of revival. You need the sap in your life flowing freely. Amen. Flowing freely. Wet wood, wet wood. When you get it in there, it'll split with the sap. It'll be in it, it'll split clean and smooth and without rough edges. That my friend, that sappy believer, that wet wood, that green wood, that one that's thriving with sap and with life in him whenever the pressure gets on and the Spirit of God shows him the wrong ways in his life and shows him the problems in his life and shows him how he needs to change. Instead of splintering up and bristling up and getting all upset and catching on fire, instead it just splits open clean. He'll clean his life up. He'll clean his act up. He'll change his habits because the Holy Ghost worked on him. I tell you, God help us to be filled with the Spirit of God and accept the preaching and instruction of the Word of God and act on it when God sends it our way. So many times I get up and I preach and I'm blue in the face and I scream and I holler and I stomp and I sweat and all this stuff.
look around at you guys and give altar call, and there's 20 people in the congregation that look like you've seen a ghost under conviction, and there's two of you that moves. And that bothers me. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So the song, Proverbs chapter number 29, I believe it is, verse 1 says. Stubbornness is as unto the sin of idolatry. Rebellion like witchcraft. That's right. A lot of times, if you're not careful, you get all dry. And you know what happens to us? The more of you there is and the less of God there is, the more rebellious you're going to get. The more stubborn you get, the more hard to deal with you are. That's right. The more it is that when the man of God does preach and the Holy Ghost tries to deal with your heart, you done got hard heart and dry, and he can't work as easily. Doesn't have that sap flowing through you. A fellow that really wants to walk with God now, really wants to walk with God, you preach to him. He's got life in him. He's got sap in him. He's soft. He's soft. His heart's not impenetrable. He's soft, and he'll receive the Word of God. And then when he receives it, he comes to where he acts on it. And he can live clean and right, and the preacher helps him. The one that's stiff and brittle, resistant to change, all it does is hurt him. Make him mad, make him rough, make him hard to deal with, make him full of splinters and bristles. Some folks preaching helps him, some folks it hurts him. And it'll do one or the other if a man does much preaching. Amen. And by the way, if ain't no pressure being put on you, he ain't doing no preaching. Amen. Awful lot of preachers make you feel good about everything. My goodness, everything makes you feel good ain't right. Matter of fact, if it makes you feel real good, it's probably bad wrong. Amen. All this stuff, everybody wants to feel good. We had a preacher, Brother Eddie, went and preached revival at a church in Dallas up there. And every night, Brother Eddie get up, and he absolutely would skin hide. I mean, we'd leave a church house the way Paul left the meat house, with hide on the wall and brains in the floor and blood in the cracks. I mean, Brother Eddie is preaching against everything. One night he got up and preached about an hour and a half against everything that ever moved and kicked some stuff so it'd move and he could preach against it. I'm going to tell you, I've never heard such preaching in my life. When the Brother Eddie got done, and it was mostly against everything them folks were doing on top of that. I mean, he wasn't preaching on somebody else. He was preaching on them. When they got done, the stupid pastor got up and looked at everybody. He said, everybody feel good. I thought, under God, everybody ain't supposed to feel good. The man of God's just cut us open, showed us our wrongdoings, has showed us our sin. We ought to feel remorse in our heart. We ought to have godly sorrow for our sins. We ought to come with a heart of repentance. Have a determination to change our ways. We're not always supposed to feel good. I know what the smiley boy out in California does all the time. Always want everybody to feel good and to be warm all over. But that ain't preaching. That may be motivational speaking. My friend, that may be some sort of thing that'll tickle your mind and thrill your heart. That preaching's when God moves your heart. Preaching's when pressure's put on you by the conviction of the Holy Ghost through the Word that's delivered to you. And it changes your way. And if you get stiff on God, you don't get near to God, and you don't want to serve Him, you don't want to give your whole heart to Him, you're rebellious against His plan, that preaching won't serve to help you. It just gets you all bristled up, splintered up, because you can't take the pressure. Just can't take preaching. Can't set preaching. I like preaching. I don't know about you. I like preaching. Now listen, hey, I know, and the worst ones about it is preachers. Preachers don't like preaching. Especially if they preach on something you don't preach on, you know. I go in places, preach on stuff him other preachers don't preach on. They'll be the first ones dry up. Amen. Because then their folks realize they don't preach on it, what cowards they are, because they won't preach on it. And they get mad at me for preaching on it. God help us. Well, I'm a long way off course, but I'm still preaching right. Greenwood splits clean. Receives a demand of the Word of God. Won't bristle at the demand of the Scriptures. Greenwood. It's heavy. After that stuff dries out, there ain't no weight to it. I mean, you can put the same. You can take a pickup truck load of dry wood and it won't weigh half what the pickup truck load of real green wood, freshly cut, does. I want to say, friends, because that greenwood's full of sap. And if it dries up, the sap's gone. It loses its weight. So also is the Saint of God. If, my friend, you get dried up, you'll lose your weight. You'll lose your gravity. You'll lose the substance there is about you. You'll lose, my friend, the stability there is about you. You'll get dry and empty and light. And, my friend, you'll not have any strength or flexibility. Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to fix the clothes. Green wood can be made to be dry wood. All you got to do is cut it down and leave it for some time without a good flow of sap in it. It'll be dry wood. Seems mighty simple, don't it? Well, then why don't we learn the lesson? You may be filled with sap today. You may be shouting from the mountaintop today. But you disconnect yourself from your Bible reading and your prayer and your worship and your attendance at the house of God and attentiveness to the things of God and your, my friend, your desire and have that longing down inside of you had to serve God with a whole heart begin to fade. It won't be long. It won't be long, friend, till you'll get dry and dead. You've got to have a constant source of life coming in you if you're going to stay alive. I mean, you can't cut off the blood, which is what the sap is. It's the blood of the tree. You can't cut off the blood and expect the body to stay alive. You can't cut off the Holy Ghost. You cannot rebel against God, get stiff-necked against the Lord, and not get dry. You don't have a free flow of it. Now listen, hey, man can make green wood dry, but man cannot make dry wood green. Are you listening to me right about now? Man can make green wood dry. We can kill it, but we can't give it life. I want to say in your life and in mine, this generation of easy believism has got to a place where we think we can make dry wood green. This man-made salvation, this talk you into praying my prayer, pat you on the back, tell you you're all right, you're going to heaven. We think we can make dry wood green. But you can't give nobody life. I've had them ask me when I come back from revival at work, some of them would say, how many did you save this week? Praise God, I ain't saved nobody. That's the working of the Holy Ghost. God's the only one can save anybody. That's God's territory. We can't make dry wood green. Only God can give life. Only God can make the sap flow. Only God can move the Spirit into your life. All of our mechanics and all of our goings about and all of our doings is just leaving people dead and dry and without hope. It'll take God a moving among us. You can take a dead stick out there and you can plant it just right. I mean, you can put it in the best dirt with the best fertilizer, with the best system around it, my friend, and keep it watered real good. And 5 years from now, still be caring for it. And all the while, it'll still be dead and rotten. And the whole time, it's standing there. Because you can't give it life. It takes the Lord to make dry wood green. So tonight, if you're dry wood, if you're not as on fire for God and not as alive in the Holy Ghost is what you need to be. The truth is, ain't nobody in this building can help you but the Lord. Amen. Ain't that right?
Amen.
But you need not to go talk to Mom about it and see what she thinks. Get you a book from Chucky Boy Swindoll or Rod Parsley and read after and see what they think.
That's right.
But what you need to do is find your place all by yourself with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I mean stay there till God begins to breathe over your soul. Can the Lord make dead things live? The Bible is a book all about resurrection. That's right. Carries them out to a valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37. Blake that right? And he said, these bones are dry, and they were very dry. And he said, son of man, can I make these bones live? And he said, thou sayest it, Lord. And he said, prophesy unto them. He preached to them. And they're made alive. And they came together. And then he prophesied to them. And the sinews came upon a sinew. And bone to bone, he prophesied to them. Their skin came upon their flesh. But he said, they're still not alive. He said, now prophesy to the wind. And the wind began to blow. And I come right friend right down into their system as it was when God breathed in man to breathe.